You have spent the last hour listening to a conversation involving William Yanes, who is very concerned about gun ownership in this country, and Matt Hoy, who is equally concerned that gun rights might be taken away. As we continue this conversation, we open up the phone lines and we invite your phone calls, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. What do you think about the issue of guns? We'll be taking your phone calls, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Dane is in Atascadero on KVEC. Hi, Dane.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, yes. Dane.
It seems to me there's always a emotional response and to go after the guns immediately when there's a shooting. Now, my couple of points here is this. Do we ever consider the people that are doing these shootings? There's never a profile. Well, there is, but they never focus on that issue because so many of these gun mass murderers are subject to mental illness, drugs, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, my last check, there has never been, to my knowledge, a mass murderer who's been an NRA member. So what I'm saying is, why don't we start focusing on some of the issues that cause these, and not so much the guns. The gun is definitely a situation what caused it, but what really caused that person to commit this heinous crime?
All right, hang on, Dane, hang on. William, let me start with you. No serial killer has ever been no mass killer has ever been a member of the NRA.
I don't know if that's true or not. What I do know is that that most of these mass shooters are using a particular style of weapon that has been popularized. Most of them are using 30-round magazines and AR-15-style rifles in semi-automatic mode. Infantrymen hardly ever use, rarely use them in full burst mode anyway, or fully automatic mode. They're just really easy to shoot, really easy to kill people with. It's a killing machine.
Matt, respond to what Dane's asking, please.
Well, I think if there was an NRA member who had committed a mass shooting, we would know about it. Yeah. I think the press would dig that up and splatter that across everything. So the good news is both of you here are safe with me. You know, the AR-15, it's a semi-automatic rifle. It shoots an intermediate caliber. It's a relatively small rifle round. It's smaller than the M1 Garand that was the main battle rifle in World War II.
It's traveling at twice the muzzle velocity.
But let's stick to this question here. Dane, anything else from you?
I just want everybody to focus on the whole picture. Right. Just not focus on guns. There's a whole picture out there that we need to focus on, and that's what really needs to be the subject. Thank you, Dane.
And try that again, please, Matt. The mental illness.
I've been saying this every time I come. You know, We need to find a way to identify and treat people who are mentally ill. The Sandy Hook shooter should have been institutionalized. Right. The shooter down there in Florida in Parkland, I mean, how much did he have to scream that he was trouble before that happened? Somebody called the FBI on him, and they sat on it.
All right, Sid's in Los Osos on KVEC. Hi, Sid.
How you doing, Dave?
Good.
First, I'm a gun owner, but I am a liberal and a Second Amendment advocate. So,
okay. You know,
very rare bird.
Well, I guess you could say that. But first, I want to make sure that the other gentleman there is corrected. And the loophole, the gun show loophole, is a real thing. I myself, in the state of Georgia, have bought and sold guns at gun shows for my sister or relatives without even showing my ID to anybody. Many of the sellers in those things don't have FFLs or federal firearms.
Were you a resident of the state of Georgia at the time?
No, I was not.
You committed a felony. I'd hang up now.
Well, I'm not worried about it because I was with a resident and with them when they did it. And I asked the guy, I said, well, so you don't need any ID? He goes, no. He goes, I'm just selling. You just pay me cash, and that's all I accept, and out the door I go. And that's many states have that. Probably 75 or 80% of the guns in Chicago come from the state of Indiana that are purchased by people at gun shows.
Yep.
And so that is a real thing that needs to be dealt with. A universal background check is a real thing that needs to be in every state before we can get a handle on this. And I should mention today, there was a shooting in Oklahoma.
Yeah, we're following that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what they didn't announce was that it was stopped by a citizen with a gun. So that was on your newscast, but it was not on the national newscast today.
Yeah. So a good guy, it's the good guy with the gun argument, yeah.
Yeah, no. And so anyway, all right. That's all I wanted to say. Is
I'm the, glad you
the,
did it.
The gun show loophole really is a real thing that needs to be dealt with.
Thank you, Sid.
On the subject of mental illness, when people lay this problem, this American problem, at the feet of the mentally ill, it ignores the fact that incidents of mental illness in this country are comparable to every other country that we're compared against on this metric, and we don't see the per capita gun deaths in other countries with similar mental illness rates.
All right. Sherry's in Paso on KVEC. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, everybody. Great
Hi.
Show.
Thanks.
A couple points here, and then I'll get your feedback. 95%, the stats, is 95% or even higher of mentally ill people are not violent. And I want to bring in, I think Dane had an excellent point of what I was going to address, and I want to follow up on that, is in order to solve any problem, we have to gather full amount of information and look at the full information. Now, he brought up the subject of drugs. So the FDA, approximately 12 to 15 years ago, is when they first approved antipsychotic and antidepressant drugs for children under 18. Every mass shooter, and you can confirm this, the one from Texas is too soon to know, every other mass shooter has been had a history either on or withdrawing from psychotropic yeah. prescription medication.
That is true.
Everyone.
Right.
And
I
think
I
the NRA just
Vegas
addressed
one.
this last week with Ollie North, yeah. bringing that subject up. Now, it's unpopular because of the pharmaceutical
right.
Lobbies.
Right.
But we have to start addressing these issues. I grew up in the 50s and 60s. My dad was a professional hunter who worked for the Fish and Wildlife. We had guns all over the house. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an issue. I wasn't a boy, so I was not the least bit interested in them.
So what changed was the medication?
Yes. 15
okay.
years ago was when the FDA and the mass shootings have skyrocketed since this. We have to start looking at this issue.
Right.
When every shooter has been on prescription drugs, we've got to start looking at this.
Hang on, Sherry. I promise I'll come back to you.
She's right, especially when you combine those troubled individuals with easy access to high-powered weapons, you're going to have a problem.
Any disagreement, Matt?
Well, I don't think... I hadn't heard that about the Las Vegas shooter.
I have. Yeah, I have.
Okay. News to me. My problem is this is a complicated issue.
Sure.
And as much as I don't like reflexively going guns, I don't think we should reflexively go drugs either. I think there's a whole milieu here that of all sorts of things that are contributing to this. Part of it's probably the media, violent movies, people say video games. I think it's all of that. I don't think we can focus on just one thing.
Sherry, what do you say?
Yeah, I agree. It's not just one thing. But when there's that much of a factor with every shooter, I think it's definitely worth looking at. Now, the issue of the Parkland shooter, somebody mentioned that there were so many red flags. And I can tell you why. It was because of Obama's PROMISE program that prevented him, the police from getting the information.
Hmm. We'll have to look into that. Sherry, thank you very much. Matt Hoy, William Yanes on this broadcast, talking guns. Bob is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, I'd like to hit just some really quick points, and
sure.
and then your guests can respond
okay.
later, and you can involve me if you like. Well, your last caller was right on target. There are different types of mental illness. There's mental illness where you're depressed or this or that or the other. The mass shooting thing is new. Maybe it's just something that happened and caught on. The Second Amendment, you need to put that in historical perspective and ignore the Supreme Court ruling, which is a political ruling. The Second Amendment basically is 27 words, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The founding fathers did not envision or did they support the concept of a standing army. They wanted citizen militias such as the ones that started the Revolutionary War. They didn't want government to have that kind of power. And in fact, a militia in Pennsylvania that went a little bit off the reservation was disbanded by the federal government.
When?
They said,
when?
It was in the 1790s.
Okay.
And the federal government basically said, this guy's nuts. His people are nuts. And we are disbanding this militia. Other militias were armed groups of citizens. And so your right to bear arms right now has kind of been transferred to, if you want to join, if you want guns and you'd like to join the National Guard, they've got the biggest and the best.
All right.
They're what's left of the
Network. Again, let me hit a couple of things.
Well, here, I got a lot of stuff here already on the table, Bob. All right?
I agree with most of what he said.
Go ahead, comment.
The militia, today's modern-day militia, is the National Guard. They are well-regulated. Putting anybody over the age of 18 in America who can pass a background check, that's not a well-regulated militia.
Yeah. Matt?
Well-regulated meant properly functioning. It did not mean regulations as we imagine them in the bureaucratic state today. It meant a well-functioning militia. The militia, if you go back, you read Federalist, I think it's 46, they expected people, you know, the militia brought their own arms. The idea that the federal government would allow the states to have, you know, have control of the arms and who had arms and who possessed arms after you just fought a revolutionary war against a British government government who wanted to confiscate arms is a little ahistorical.
Yeah.
That if you read the Heller decision, it is right on the history.
Bob, what else about the Second Amendment you want to say?
I actually just wanted to say a couple of pro-gun things. I don't believe there's a relationship between the number of guns and crime. I went from owning one to owning the one was my grandfather's gun. And with things changing these days and the fact that there may be additional regulations, I went and bought a handgun for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
In San Luis Obispo High School, when I went there, there were guns on the racks of pickup trucks.
I hear that story a lot. We get that anecdotal story. Oh, back in the 60s and 50s. There were guns everywhere.
You know, yeah. And you didn't have these mass shootings and whatnot, so something else has changed.
All right.
Bob, the AR-15 has become very popular.
Bob, thank you.
You had semi-automatic guns back then, too.
Let's hear from Amy and Bradley on KVEC. Hi, Amy.
I was going to mention that in 1971, there was a labor strike due to Chavez. The Arroyo Grande High School was surrounded by these huge walnut trees and these giant orchards all around the school. And this riot was across the street in the walnut trees. It was kids in the school that went out to their trucks and grabbed their guns. My husband was in high school back then, 1971. And they're the kids that kind of took care of that side of the school. But what I wanted to say about this whole mass shooting thing the way it is right now, my first cousin's two daughters were in the Florida school. They were fine. My niece's daughter was in that mall when the guy shot his girlfriend. She was in the dressing room of one of the other stores and got stuck in a back room for hours when that happened. But what I want to point out is all these kids that you see that everybody's poo-pooing right now, every one of those kids is going to be a voter in just a couple of years, out of college in maybe 5 years, and you're going to see a different temperament because every one of those kids that got killed has a family.
Yeah.
And they're not going to put up with this crap anymore.
Yeah. In what other country do you have so few degrees of separation between you and all of those dead bodies? It doesn't happen in other countries like it happens here.
Well, I have a nephew who got his little fanny in exchange and has been living in Switzerland for probably 10 years now.
Hmm. All right.
And they don't think it's ridiculous. And yeah. Every one of the Switzerland people, you know, are the ones that get the guns after they go into the army. But what they don't get a full automatic. They get a semi-automatic.
All right, Amy, thank you. Any thoughts on the new generation of gun ownership, Matt?
Well, I think she's probably being misled a little bit by the media, to be perfectly honest with you. You've got CNN put on this whole town hall, which frankly...
The media is misleading people.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Can we agree with that? Yeah. No. Here's the thing. You've got all of these advocates, and you probably know their names, came out of Parkland, who really want common sense gun reform. You've got others who want more people to have guns, want more officers on campus, want teachers to have guns.
They're in the minority. That's a smaller percent.
Because
the Pew Research Center has 62% of Americans want significant gun law reform. That's roughly the same proportion of Americans who choose not to own guns at all.
And it sounds good. And when you get into specifics, the numbers start dropping.
Right.
And the reason why you haven't got those Texas kids are not on CNN nearly as much as those Florida kids were is because there's a greater percentage of them who aren't saying gun laws.
But they do have a governor who is a gun guy who's saying we got to do something. In Texas, they're talking about doing something.
Well, I'm all for putting more armed resource officers on campus. Paso Robles has one school resource officer for the entire district. Most of the time he's at the high school. Go ahead.
Got to get this break in. Matt Hoy, William Yanes on this broadcast. Callers, please be patient. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. We are running way, way behind. I apologize. Paul in San Luis, please hold the line. You'll be next. We'll take more of your phone calls. William Yanes, Matt Hoy, we're debating guns. I'm Dave Congleton. Traffic, weather, news, Hometown Radio. All right, Craig, thank you. We are continuing our conversation about guns. We have William Yanes here who has expressed his concerns about gun ownership in this country. Matt Hoy, and by the way, his blog is hoystory.com if you want to find out more about his positions. We'll welcome your phone calls 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. This will be the last segment we take phone calls, so if you want to get on the conversation, this would be a good time to call. Paul is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Hello. This one of these things I think is a false narrative, given anecdotes about women who have been attacked, and it's almost like one of your guests, I think his name's Matt, is saying about the only way that she could have defended herself was if she had a gun. You know, pepper spray is a really effective personal defense weapon for women. I actually think that all women, some men, should probably carry pepper spray. I've heard a lot of people say, well, what would you do if this happened? Or, you know, if you had pepper spray in some of those situations, you could do it, and it's non-lethal. And if you accidentally pepper spray your neighbor or one of your kids or a friend or a family member, it doesn't kill them. So that being said, I just wanted to make that as a statement. I'm like the other guests. I used to have a lot of admiration and respect for the NRA. I just don't anymore because I think it's filled with zealots. And some of your previous callers were talking about mental health, and I'm going to give you an example of the NRA where I think they're radical. Early in Trump's presidency, one of the first things he did was he signed a bill making it easier for mentally ill people to get guns. And the reason why he did that was because the NRA pushed him to do it, and it was Obama actually made the law that if someone was on Social Security and they had certain and they were on Social Security based on certain mental health issue problems, that those people would be reported to the National Registry on background checks for guns.
Right.
I mean, that seems simple to me. I mean, that's common sense that I think pretty much 9 out of 10 people would say, you know, that's common sense. That, right. That right. You know, I'm for that.
Hang on, Paul. Matt?
Okay, here we go. First off, President Obama made a law. That's all sorts of constitutionally problematic, but let's move on. Yes, what Obama did was he said that if you were on Social Security and you had someone managing your finances for you because you couldn't manage your finances for whatever reason, that he would put them on the NICS list. Without any, you know, judicial determination, any way to get your name back off the list, and the NRA opposed that. So did the ACLU. So did numerous mental health groups, because it was, again, 95% of people who are mentally ill are not violent, but these are people who aren't even mentally ill. They just can't handle their finances, or they have someone handling it for them.
So you think that if you can't balance a checkbook, that you should be able to go out and buy a gun?
I think that I think that you have the right to defend yourself. And again, it's not just the NRA. You've got an issue with the ACLU. You've got an issue with advocates for mental health who were against that too.
Well, Matt, don't you understand that? If that law was in place when Adam Lanza was.
It wouldn't matter.
He was taking care of himself.
It wouldn't matter. He killed his mom and broke into her safe.
He would have been able to go out and buy those guns, you know, even though he couldn't care for himself.
It doesn't matter. He had enough mental illness issues before that. I'm not. If they reported it properly, he wouldn't have been able to go and buy guns. Again, fix the NICS reporting thing.
Keep him from doing that.
There is no law. He's correct. There is no law. I mean, he'd have to be adjudicated mentally ill and incapacitated.
And they could go through that process. Go through the process.
But they don't. That's not part of the.
Well,
union.
Then they should go through that process. You're
trying to have it both ways.
Yeah, you want to screen people for mental illness. Let's just. We don't want to live in a society like that.
Yeah,
demonize the mentally ill. It's not a mental illness problem.
The ACLU is extremist, and we should stop whatever they do.
The ACLU is doing that because most of these would be violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Let me thank Paul. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks,
Paul. Catch Dottie in Atascadero on KVEC. Hi, Dottie.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dottie.
A couple things, and maybe you've already addressed this, but I've heard people calling up talking about these people having assault rifles or automatic rifles. So the AR-15, AR stands for a man named Armalite.
Right.
That's a company.
We know.
It's a company.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was back in the 1950s that the Armalite rifle was first manufactured.
Right.
And that's what a lot of times on the media you hear it called an automatic rifle. It's not an automatic rifle. It's an Armalite rifle that's not automatic. And
for 40 years,
we had them in America, and nobody used them in a mass shooting. Now they're, instead of being wooden, you know, they make them black so they look cool like Hollywood. But I just think as a culture, we are doing a disservice to I think mostly young men, in that for the last 20, 30 years, we've produced these nonstop movies that are full of gratuitous violence that they've grown up on. We allow them to play, we drug them at a young age because they're too active to sit at a desk, and they take these drugs from while they're minds and their brains are maturing. And so they're taking these drugs from young childhood through puberty to early adulthood. And then those same young boys are watching and playing these violent video games where they are rewarded over and over and over again for killing people they don't know.
Right. But Dottie, let me ask you this. Does access to guns have any role in this at all? The fact that it's relatively easy to get a gun in this country?
I'm sure it does. And it seems like if you look at each case, there were warning signs. There's not always a warning sign, perhaps, but there were warning signs. I think about the church shooting that guy had been dishonorably discharged, but we didn't have it connected to being able to go out and buy a gun, and that's something that we should fix. And this man in Florida, he had sign after sign after sign, and all of our, you know, all of our policing and FBI, they just, to me, they just dropped the ball.
Well, if you're white and male in this country, you don't attract the attention of the security apparatus. If he would have been Muslim, I'm sure they would have taken his guns away well before he had an opportunity to slaughter those kids.
Worked in Boston.
Pardon me?
Worked in Boston.
Explain, man.
I'm not sure
what
you're talking
about. Boston bombing killed people, Tsarnaev brothers. They had them on the radio and on their radar, and they dropped the ball on them too. They're Muslim.
But what about Dottie's point that a lot of this is the violence in our culture, and the guns is merely a reflection of what we get from video games and TV and movies?
The only difference between America and the other countries that we compare ourselves to in this respect, they've all been controlled for in the studies. There are violent video games in Japan. The movies are more violent, and the video games are more violent, and more kids play them for longer. And you don't have the per capita gun death rates that we have in America. There's no, it's not mental illness, because mental illness exists at roughly the same proportion in other populations that we compare ourselves to.
Dottie, what else do you want to say, please?
Well, it's my understanding that every single one of these shooters has been on some kind of psychotropic drug. So, I don't want to call that necessarily mental illness, but they've been put on them, and they've been on them for years. Even the shooter in Las Vegas had been on medication off and on for, I think, 2 to 3 years, and it was never meant to, you know, it was a kind of medication it was never meant to have been on that long. So, you know, it may not be mental illness, but I think we need to be honest with...
The drugs could be exacerbating the problem, I agree.
Well, William, the studies you referenced, you said it controls for all... Is it controlling... Do in Japan or whatnot, do they drug their children with these sorts of drugs at the level we do?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
I'd be interested in finding that out.
Yeah, I would too.
Dottie, we appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Dottie, for calling in. We'll come back for a final segment with William Yanes and Matt Hoy. I'm Dave Congleton. We're talking about guns on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. Top of the hour, it's ABC Radio News, and then Buck Sexton with Buck Sexton Tonight. If you want in on this great conversation we've been having with Matt Hoy and William Yanes about guns, we need your phone calls now, please. 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. Greg is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good. Thanks, Greg.
Good. I just kind of got in late on the conversation, but something to kind of think about with all this gun stuff is virtual gun violence, where, in other words, a lot of the kids are being brought up with video games that have super graphic violence involving guns. And so they kind of get desensitized to the reality of guns and, like, what they really can do. And so when they do get a hold of guns, it's almost not real to them. And if you study a lot of these shootings that have gone on, a lot of these guys have backgrounds in those violent video games. So I think it's something we really got to look at.
But what about the guns themselves?
The guns themselves, well, I actually own guns. I'm actually a marksman. I actually have competed in shooting events, but I don't own an AR-15. I just don't. I don't see the need to own a assault weapon in my house. For self-defense, I mean, the ultimate, if you're a gun person, the ultimate home weapon is a shotgun for home defense, not an AR-15. An AR-15, I don't see the need for it, you know, to go out and target shoot. I personally have more fun with just, like, small arms, you know, like 22s and, you know, or old war rifles. And you put one bullet in there and nipped it, cock it and everything, you know. And I don't really – I have a friend who owns, you know, an AR-15. And I know guys with automatic weapons like that or semi-automatic. I just don't – they don't do it for me. I don't see the need. I think it's kind of – And so those kind of weapons falling into the wrong hands is just, it's horrible. But that said, you know, with that last guy who did the shooting, he did use a shotgun and a, I don't know, what, a pistol or something. So
yeah, revolver.
I mean, weapons are a problem. How people get a hold of them, what the weapons can do. It is a major problem, and we do need to look at something to do to curb that. But even beyond that is what is driving these people to do this, these crimes. And if you lined up every single crazy person right now and just incarcerated them, there's going to be a huge wave of new crazy people to replace them.
Oh, there's
and one way or another, they're going to get damage done.
Yeah. Hang on, Greg. Hang on. What do you say to that, William?
Well, the comment that I would make about people who lay this at the feet of the mentally ill is that mental illness exists in all these other countries at the same rate, basically. But what you do have in America that is correlated to poor mental health is income inequality. That has been shown to be highly correlated. Income inequality in America is completely out of control. Childhood poverty. There are a lot of very poor, stressed out people, and that creates a lot of mental illness. You pump them full of psychotropic drugs and Prozac, and then give them easy access to guns, and you're going to see more of these types of shootings. It is.
Well, you know what? I hate to say it, but like when I've been to Italy several times, they have their law enforcement's a lot different over there than here. I could walk down the street with a beer in my hand. I can smoke pretty much anywhere I want to. I'm not a smoker, I'm just saying. There's a lot of personal freedoms over there. However, you do see armed policemen with machine guns on corners. And with that kind of, those guys hanging out like that, it deters a lot of violence. Now, Italy has a very low, for an industrialized country, a very low violence, and a very, their rape rates are lower, everything's lower over there. Now, I'm not advocating guns whatsoever. I'm not saying people should own automatic weapons. If they could all just disappear right now, I could blink my eyes, I'd do it. But I can't tell my friend, surrender your AR-15. I can't force him to do that. That's a choice he has to make, you know. But he's not a nut who's going to go do something. Now, somebody could get a hold of his gun. Very possibly, someone could break in his house, steal his AR-15, and go on a rampage. I don't like the thought of that. So I don't really know the answer to that. I'm all for better background checks, 100% better background checks, all the way. Yeah. You know, you have to get background checks to access security areas, you know, nuclear areas, et cetera, et cetera. You should have to have a pretty good background check for a gun, any gun, whatever, whatsoever.
Agreed.
If you have any sort of mental illness in your background or criminal activity, forget it.
I think we all agree on that.
Yeah, but you give me a hard time about going after Planned Parenthood, and he brings up income inequality.
All right, Greg, thank you.
Those two don't connect, but
all right. Craig, you wanted to ask a question.
Well, one thing to build on what you were talking about earlier, you both agreed on universal background checks federally the same across the board. I was wondering if you guys, on the same flip side of that coin, could both agree on concealed carry reciprocity, the same federal gun laws across every state.
And before you answer that, let me just remind folks, this is your last chance to call in, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Matt, what about concealed carry?
I am very much for that. William is very much against that.
For concealed carry? I don't have a problem with
concealed
carrying.
Concealed carry reciprocity.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea because you've got to balance state rights against the federal government's ability to dictate to them. But this problem is a national problem, and I don't think reciprocity. Yeah, I think reciprocity probably would have to be allowed under federal laws that tighten gun restrictions, but these semi-automatic Glocks, I mean, that means everybody in every state could be walking around with a Glock, and mm-hmm. we know what happens when that.
So
when
you're
that's
against it?
I am against it.
Okay, it just seemed like you're.
Well,
I was confused for a second.
Guns aren't used for self-defense very often. They're usually used by somebody to accidentally hurt themselves or kill somebody else in the heat of passion.
Let's go to Don in Aurora Grande on KVEC. Hi, Don.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Don.
One of the things everybody skips out on, and it's across the board on all other subjects too, is statistics. You have to look at how they're written up. Death by gun and murder are two different things. And a lot of the statistics that they have for death by gun include suicide. And if you take out the suicide, according to one statistics, that's two-thirds, 66%.
Yep.
Is suicide.
We agree on
so
that.
So when you look at the numbers, you look at England, you look here, you got to look at how they were derived and what questions they asked.
Yeah. You know how to get that number of suicides to go down? You pass laws on firearm storage that will reduce gun deaths from domestic violence and suicides by not making those guns readily available when that person is having suicidal thoughts or that domestic disturbance is threatening to go nuclear. And that a lot of people are killed because that gun is handy, not stored properly.
You know, on that note, this is something that somebody brought up a few months ago when I was reading this, and someone suggested, hey, you know, if you're feeling down, if you own a gun and you're feeling down and you're not sure what you might do with it, give it to a friend. Give it to somebody and say, look, this is not a good time for me to have a gun in the house. Would you hold my gun for me, just for safekeeping? Just for the record, that's an illegal transfer in the state of California.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can't do it in the state of California.
Don, anything else you want to say, Don?
Yeah. The other thing is that there's more murders by handgun than by rifles,
yep.
And yet everybody's concentrating on the AR-15, which is a rifle. And I can't conceal that very easily.
You're right. You're right.
All right.
That's absolutely right.
Don, thank you. What haven't we gotten to we should have gotten to? Anything we leave off the list?
I'm sure somebody will mention it on Facebook or my blog or Twitter or something later.
A year from now, is anything going to change, Matt? You think Congress, you think Sacramento, any
Sacramento
change?
Continues to pass gun laws. If we elect Gavin Newsom as our governor, we'll get more gun laws. Will any of them do much? No, I don't think so.
You see anything changing, William?
Not really. Not until we implement national firearms control legislation. It's got to be a sweeping overhaul. It can't be done piecemeal. It's not going to make any difference unless we get significant change. And that's what the majority of Americans want.
But we won't have that with the Republicans in power.
We won't, because they are thwarting the will of the people.
When you say national firearms...
Gun laws.
But you talked about... And you imagine that as banning all semi-automatic weapons? A buyback of all semi-automatic weapons.
No, what I would do is I would move every semi-automatic weapon under the same rubric as fully automatic weapons.
Okay, and do you know what that means?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what does that mean?
That means the difference between a single trigger pull and one shot or
no,
holding
no,
the trigger.
No, I mean putting it under that regime. Do you know what that means for...
That means all of those semi-automatic weapons that have been sold over the years now become illegal to own. Now, if you had...
Now, that's not quite true. The national
fully automatic weapons are illegal.
They are in California. They are not illegal to own in many states in the United States. They require a $200 tax stamp. They require an FBI background check, which typically takes 9 to 10 months.
And we are
required
to stop.
But you can buy a fully automatic weapon.
We're required to stop. If you miss any part of today's debate... The podcast will be up within the hour at 920kvec.com. Thanks to William Yanes and Matt Hoy
for joining us today, Dave.
For the stimulating conversation. Thanks to Craig Hill for his help as always. And thanks to you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. I'm Dave Congleton. Good night.